Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to have to tell you how it is. Because if I don't tell you how it is, who's going to tell you? I talk about Christians and Christianity because this has become the number one enemy and the most deceptive enemy of the cross of Christ. Hard to believe, but true. I'll get more into that tomorrow. The most offensive thing about the cross of Jesus Christ to Christians is that it makes no allowance for human contribution. And that is extremely offensive because Christians and really all religious people can only see salvation in terms of a deal with God. A deal. When God does his part and they do their part. That's the only way they can grasp things. It's completely wrong. But it's the only way they can grasp it. God's part, their part. Now, my question to you is, what does that remind you of? God does his part, and humanity does its part. The old covenant? Yes, correct. I think of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai, when that nation said, its representatives said to Moses, all that the Lord has said, we will do. Of course, we know now that that was a precursor, a necessary, demonstration that no flesh at all can boast in God's presence. In order to know that, we first have to have the boast, don't we? Yes, and Israel provided the boast. Very proudly, all that the Lord has said, we will do. Such confidence. Such confidence. Let the demonstration begin. And the demonstration began. And the demonstration was a success. Israel proved that the law only makes them worse. Romans 5:20, the law came so that the offenses would increase. Romans chapter 7, the law that said thou shalt not covet only produces more coveting. Israel as a nation has never learned this lesson. She could be excused because she doesn't have the New Testament. I should say the Greek scripture. She doesn't have the letters of Paul, who unfolds the secrets of the law, that it was a demonstration of the inability of human flesh. Let's try her out. Let's try her out. Let's try out human flesh. I'm going to use Israel to try her out. A guinea pig nation, as I've called it. Perfect success. Israel fails. But for some reason, humanity, it has not left humanity to want to barter with God. No, to need to barter with God. It strikes at the heart of the human condition, which is pride and boasting. Humanity must be able to boast. Oh, they might not call it boasting. In fact, they won't call it boasting. But it's nevertheless boasting when it's an if-then proposition. Now, Christianity has hijacked the Apostle Paul. Not only that, they've even hijacked the New Covenant. Christians aren't even at the New Covenant yet. I mean, they haven't even wrapped their heads around the New Covenant is that Israel's helpless, Israel's done, God is going to put his law on their heart. He is going to take their heart of stone, change it to a heart of flesh. All these active verbs God is going to do. That's the new covenant. It comes on the heels of Israel not being able to do the old covenant. And what's the old covenant again? It's a deal between God and man. God presented it as a deal for the sake of the demonstration. If you do your part, I'll bless you. If you fail me, I will curse you. Christianity still lives there. I mean, they have not only pitched a tent at the base of Mount Sinai, they've built a kingdom at the base of Mount Sinai. They have never left the shadow of Mount Sinai. And of course, Mount Sinai here is figurative, for they still think that salvation, even in this day, even thousands of years removed from Mount Sinai, they still think that salvation is a deal between God and humanity. But they think it's a neater and cleaner deal, because they've eliminated the 613, how convenient, they've eliminated the 613 laws required under Moses, and they've now reduced it to, well, maybe a dozen, 10 for sure. They're still on the Ten Commandments. Isn't that amazing? They still post the Ten Commandments at their churches, on government buildings, but they've reduced it to, you at least have to believe. So they've taken the law, where they still live, and they've disguised it with Paul language. They've disguised it with salvation by grace. They've even disguised it by calling it the New Covenant. Oh, we're New Covenant saints. We're New Testament saints. No, you're not. If you were New Testament saints, you'd be waiting in helplessness for God to put his law on your hearts, for him to write it on your hearts. You'd be waiting for the Spirit of God to come over you like it did on the disciples in the upper room. They were just sitting there playing cards, picking their teeth, and there was a wind that blew through the upper room, and the Spirit appeared as tongues of fire on top of their heads. If you were New Covenant saints, that's what you'd be doing. But you're not. You're still at Mount Sinai. You're stuck at Mount Sinai. You still can't get out, and you've been locked in here. I understand that. You're locked. May God use my words to unlock you. Could be. That's why I'm doing this, to help somebody. You still think it's a deal. You still think it's an agreement. You still think it's a bartering table, where God holds salvation up as the prize. And your part of the deal, Old Covenant, Mount Sinai, your part of the deal is to give him, somehow work up faith to give to him. Which sounds a lot like human free will, and it is. And I will say this, it is impossible to believe in human free will and in Paul's gospel at the same time. These two things are mutually exclusive, because again, free will says that no one is under any compulsion to do anything, nothing, no influence whatsoever, not influenced by Satan, not influenced by God. If you're influenced by God, you're not free. So the best place for you, if you believe in free will, is Mount Sinai. Back in the Stone Age, the freaking Flintstones. Because that's where God began the experiment, which you didn't get the memo that this experiment was concluded successfully and that you cannot do anything to earn God's favor. No, too bad you missed that one. So you're still in the Flintstone car with your feet underneath the car, you're still sweeping your floors with a baby elephant, and you're shaving with a clamshell with a bumblebee in it. That's what you're doing. It looks foolish to people here in the 21st century who have the entire scriptures, and we can read that the law was a dispensation of condemnation and death, and that no flesh at all will be justified in God's presence by works of law. No flesh at all shall be justified in God's presence. We're living in skyscrapers now, all right? You're still shaving with a clam with a bumblebee in it. And saber-toothed tigers for pets. And dinosaurs. But what bothers me is the audacity to take your Flintstone mobile, your deal with God, and to put a cardboard skyscraper in front of it. Put a cardboard Chevy, a cardboard Maserati in front of your Flintstone car. It's cardboard, and it's got a little thing behind it, you know, just barely holding it up. As if you're the newest, sleekest manifestation of the grace of God. But you look behind the little cardboard Maserati, and you got your Flintstone car. You're still making deals with God. I'm trying not to sound too frustrated here. I'm not doing too well. I understand that. But I'm trying because I honestly want to help people understand this. Now, those of you who have been shown the truth, and the Spirit of God has come on you to make you realize that only an act of God can cause you to believe. This is, again, the offense of the cross, right? It's very offensive. Remember, the cross is the completion. The six-hour torture fest of Jesus Christ took care of everything. Completion. All Flintstone mobiles of self-aggrandized efforts to please God have been destroyed, obliterated. But it's offensive. The completeness is offensive. So an entire religion that names the name of Christ has gone back to the Stone Age to dig up the experiment. Not only to dig up the experiment, which was the law of Moses, but to dig up the bad side of the experiment. Not even the new covenant, but they're digging up all that the Lord has said we will do. It's the same thing, peeps, because you're still saying that. But now you're just having a different set of commandments. The Lord told me I better believe or I go to hell for eternity. All that the Lord has said we will do. The all might be one thing instead of 613 things, but it's still all that the Lord has said we will do. That's the killing part of that clause there, of that sentence, is we will do. We will do. Free will. We will do it. So it's very offensive to say anything different. Those of you who do believe the truth, you might want to know, how do I tell if someone is of the Old Testament disposition? How do I tell if someone's still camped on Mount Sinai? It's really easy. I told you that this last week, that you simply teach the truth. You give them the truth that no, the only way you can believe is if God gives you the faith. By grace are you saved through faith. This is not out of you. And if they oppose you on that, which they will because they hate it, they say, no, we have free will. You say, no, we don't. They say, yes, we do. You say, no, we don't. That's opposition. And remember, Philippians 1:29 is a very helpful verse, because that verse tells you that their opposition is proof of their destruction. I don't want to see anybody destroyed, but it's proof. It's proof of their destruction. So I don't want anybody to be destroyed for the eons. As you know, nobody's going to be destroyed for eternity. But I wanted to make you aware of the hijacking that has taken place here. There's been a crime committed. Paul and his beautiful words have been hijacked and used as a front, as a cardboard Maserati, to hide an old covenant Mount Sinai disposition. And I would like you to be able to see right through it. I don't want you to be tricked. Twofold here, twofold Zender today. I don't want you to be tricked by the front, by the cardboard modern sports car, because behind it's a Flintstone mobile, and you can prove it by telling the Flintstones that there's no free will, you can't do the things of God, no flesh can boast in his presence, nobody can do the law, whether it's one law, believe or die, or 613 laws, you can't do it. And for those of you who don't know this truth yet, let this be an expose. Let this be an expose. Read Romans 3 through Romans 8. Oh, hell, while you're at it, read Romans 1 through Romans 8. And go back and read the Law of Moses. Nah, don't read the Law of Moses. Just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul says that the law was a dispensation of condemnation and death. And then come back and tell me if you want to be dead and condemned.